As we come to this meeting, I'd like to call your attention to Psalm 37 this night. Psalm 137 is our business meeting devotion. I want us to consider this familiar psalm, an instructional psalm, a wisdom psalm that is addressed not so much to God himself, as often the psalms are, or reflections, but really instructions to us. It's a wisdom psalm, much like Psalm 34. And it expresses the contrast between the life of the wicked and the righteous. It's divided not along racial, cultural, political, or ethnic lines. It's dividing between the righteous and the wicked, the followers and lovers and trusters of God, and those themselves who go their own way. Psalm 37. Hear the word of God. I'm just going to read really verse 11 and make some observations for these times in which we live. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. I look back over the past year, just went through my little, I guess you'd call it my day timer, checking out what was happened in this last year. And it was on May 9th that we were able to come back inside this year. I didn't realize it was so long that we were gone. And then on June 13, we were able to have our first evening meeting after all this time during the COVID season. And as you know, it's a strange season still. We still are feeling the hangover of it and the effects of it and those kinds of things. But by God's blessing, we've been able to meet together and worship together and enjoy his grace. A year ago, I was in Luke 12, and we're in 19, so 7. Guess what? Lord willing, we'll finish Luke next year. Those of you who have been patient, and then we will decide by God's grace where we'll go from there. But it has been a good year of weddings, of baptisms, of memberships, and God has been kind to add numbers to us. And even in this season, again, that's strange, we've been having all kinds of visitors, and Lord willing, many of them will decide to stay. So at least from a pastoral perspective, I'm excited and encouraged by what we see, and God has been kind, as even you will see, as Tim will give a report of just the very practical provision that he's also provided for us, the physical provision with regard to missionaries and things like that. So God works in very surprising and gracious and very kind ways. And in fact, there's one of the couples that got married just this last year. Congratulations for you guys. You're not even close to the Conleys yet, but we hope you pass them up and even pass up the old Anderson clan. Okay. So, but right now we enjoy your youth and your ministry. So we rejoice in all these things. But what I want to do is just kind of keep it simple, if that's possible for me. Deal with just some observations, three, what I would just call them, prescriptions. prescriptions for living in this fallen age. And that's really what we do. This is counsel that really for how we're to live in a secular and godless age in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we are looking for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells and in which we shall see God and enjoy his reign face to face. But while we do that, we live here. We're aliens. We're pilgrims passing through. And there are all kinds of psalms and maybe books, I suppose. The New Testament book of 1 Peter is probably one of the best, I think, for instructing us how to live in this age as aliens, how to live as Daniel in Babylon. But this is a very good verse or section as well in Psalm 37. This is probably in the midst of considering the land itself in which the Jews lived. And so I want to deal with this. How practically can I keep my head, my heart, and my ways in times like this? What is it that the Lord would expect? And so there's temptations here that he immediately mentions, and I think temptations that we probably ourselves feel, the temptation to fret on account of the pride and the power of the wicked. We can become exasperated. This not to fret appears three times in the first 18 verses. Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't fret. And really, it literally means to get heated, to grow hot. And one of the things that this age is producing is hotheads and irritation. And so we've got to be careful about that. It is easy to become fretful in that kind of way. And especially as we see the strutting of the wicked on every side. And it's a great provocation. It's a heartburn of the righteous. That's one of those temptations. But not only to fret, but the other exhortation is not to be envious as well. These might be what we call the proscriptions, but that idea of being envious, not only fretting on account of their pride and their power, being envious of their pleasures and their prosperity, their success. This is almost like the Psalm 73, like Asaph's psalm, as he just looks out and sees the prosperity of the wicked and sees that the righteous themselves oftentimes do not fare so well. And again, these are constant pressures in this godless age. The bad guy is getting honored and the good guy is getting mocked. And righteousness itself being thrown into the gutter and falsehood. What is called evil is being called good and what is good being called evil. And so this is a challenging age. And it seems like that's addressed to that God in his wisdom would always speaks. This is a timeless and timely text. And maybe Derek Kidner in his excellent little commentary on the Psalms says that there's no finer exposition of the third beatitude than this psalm. Blessed are the gentle or the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. And that's the mindset that we need to keep. So let me just go with these little prescriptions that I would give you, and I'll try to put them in at least an interesting, memorable way, prayerfully. And I'm not even going to ask you if I did or not because I'm fearful. That may not happen. But here's the first thing. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. And I'm going to say this. Live with a humble preoccupation. Live with a humble, and I might just put in there, a high preoccupation. Almost and invariably in these verses, basically you've got one focus. You've got one preoccupation. And let me just see if I can give it to you like a clue. Trust the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. What do you think the preoccupation of us ought to be in this age? Not on the wickedness of men, not on all the devices of men, not on the prosperity of men. Our focus is to be on the Lord. He is to be the focus of our minds. This is a distracting age, and the wickedness of men is a distracting, fretful thing. But we need to maintain our focus. Emphatically, this is what we must do. Keep our focus. Trust in the Lord. Let him be the sole object. Let him be the foundational and focus of our lives. It's so easy to get distracted and away from him. And so the meek, really, that will inherit the earth, those are the ones who choose the path of faith, the path of trust, the path of resting, the path of looking to the Lord day by day. And we get all of these, we get these exhortations, and I'll just mention them. And just to remind you, this is our focus. Our focus is to be in the Lord. Where's our delight to be? Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. He is to be the satisfying object of your life. The joys of the worldling pass with his passing and with the passing of time in the world. And all the joys in this world are temporal, but we are to have our treasure in heaven. He is to be our treasure. He is to be the one in whom is all our delight. He is to be the one, like the psalmist says, apart from him, I have no good thing. He is the best good. He is the greatest good. And that one is our portion in the land of the living, and he is our portion forever. So whatever else we have or don't have, having him, we have all we need. And if we keep our focus on him in the midst of these kinds of times, this will be a blessing. We have what the wicked do not have, God himself, really. And this one who is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and in fact is the best gift of all, the relationship that we have with him in Jesus Christ. Keep your delight in him. And then it says this, and there's always exhortations with regard to that. You delight in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The heart that's focused on him will find all of its desires. The things that you desire, truly desire, having the right focus, will be fulfilled. This is what God determines to do. This is how he will encourage us. Notice verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. I mean, look to him as the sympathetic order of your affairs. Literally, the word is roll it over. Get rid of the burden. Lay it on the shoulders of the burden bearer. I've been with you. I've carried you from your youth, he says in Isaiah 46. I'll carry you to your gray hairs. I'm the one who bears burdens. My shoulders are great and my sympathy is great. And so roll it all over. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Commit it all. Commit everything to him. All of the concerns, all of the pressing issues, all of the challenging things that your life faces. Listen, let this be the pattern of your life. You commit it and roll it over to him. He's no novice, is he, in taking care of matters. He's no novice in management and order and organization. He created the heavens and the earth. Everything is under his control. The plan for redemption, the plan for your redemption, the plan for your glorification is not missed a beat. Though even all of earth and hell might be opposed to it, it will be accomplished. Commit it all to him. Apply yourself to what you are supposed to do and rely on him to direct your steps. Acknowledge him in all you do. In other words, this is David. This is a psalm of David. And David said, I have set the Lord always before me. And that is what we're to do. And everything that we do, everything we plan, this is to be it. And notice there's an encouragement. It says, commit your plans to him, roll over all those affairs, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. He will vindicate you in all that you will do. He will do what you cannot do and will do what is rightful and needful to be done in your case. He says also, rest in the Lord. There's the activity of commitment, and then there's also the activity of faith in its just simple, humble reliance on God to provide, the God who knows our needs. And that's a hard one to rest. It's a hard one to rest in a restless age. Literally, the word is to be silent. Hush up. Hush up, O restless soul and spirit that is going in every which direction and being torn in all kinds of ways. Hold still, hold your tongue. The Lord is in the heavens. Keep silent, says Habakkuk. In other words, come under him. Humble yourself under him. Rest under the knowledge of his wise and perfect sovereignty. And then it says, wait for the Lord. Don't you hate to wait? Everybody hates to wait. Everybody wants everything fast and done. We want order and peace, right? We want law and order, right? We want everything all done right and fast. And really, part of faith so much is resting on his timing, not ours. He'll take care of our affairs because really he's taking care of his. He's made us his affair, and he'll take care of us, and he will do it in his good timing. He's never too soon. He's never too late. And it's so interesting, is it, in this wait for the Lord, wait patiently for you, him. It says, for yet a little while. You know how long a little while is? It may be your whole life. It may be your whole life. But then it says, in a little while, he will exalt you. He will take care of it. Nothing will be lost. And that's what we can live with. This is just this matter, again, of our focus. If our focus is right, if we have our eyes on Him, this God who is worth waiting for, then we are no losers. We'll keep our heads if we keep our eyes on Him. So that's the first thing. Just keep the focus. Keep the focus. The second one I might call is just simply this. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Notice he says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Faithfulness is, and how is that to find its manifestation? And it finds its manifestation in this psalm in two ways. It's departing, it's keeping your distance, departing from evil, and it's keeping your way doing good. It's got that positive and negative aspect of it. This is how we cultivate faithfulness. We ourselves depart from evil, verse 27. We do good. That's the same verse. And you will abide forever. Distance yourself from the manner and the means and the motives of the wicked. Don't fall into their ways of acting. Don't fall into their schemes. Don't respond as they respond. Don't return fire with fire and the ways that they themselves respond. In Romans chapter 12, 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men, even though men themselves don't want peace. This is the way we're to never take your own revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the character. This is the simple way we keep the faith. This is what we're to do. We're to be diligent that we ourselves do not take up the means, the motives, and the plans of the wicked, but we ourselves depart from those and keep the way. This is in verse 3 and verse 27. And cultivate faithfulness. It really tells us all those kinds of ways that do it. In verse 34, it's keeping God's way. It's a narrow and true way. It's the way that leads to life. It's marked by faithful speech. His mouth, verse 30, utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. He's marked by generosity and conduct. He is generous and gives. All day long, he is gracious and lends. Holy usefulness and service, that we ourselves are to be dedicated to giving ourselves for the needs of others and reflecting the glory of God. In other words, in one sense, we don't check out. We basically, I say light up. Light up. No, not a cigarette. Light up. In other words, we're to be light and salt. That's really what we are. We're to be light and salt and beacons, walking in righteousness, doing righteousness, as we ourselves look and forward to and anticipate the glory that is to come. That those very words that we find in Titus, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us, and here comes the way of faithfulness, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died, gave himself for us that he might redeem a people from every lawless deed, that we ourselves might be devoted and zealous for what? Good deeds. Do not grow weary in well-doing. And that's what we're to do. We're to do good to all men, and especially to the household of faith. And so that is what we're to do. We're to keep the focus, and we're to keep the faith. We're to walk in obedience and faithfulness to the Lord. And then, lastly, we're to keep the future. We're to consider the future. And that's what you find here. We live not only with a humble preoccupation and with a righteous practice, but with an enlightened perspective. And this is what we have to keep in our minds. Because the day of the Lord is coming. And the Lord himself will reward, and the Lord himself will punish. And that is really that theme that we find here in this particular psalm, is that the Lord is going to have a dealing with those who belong to him, and it will be a glorious dealing. It's seven times it says, we will inherit. We will inherit. We will receive all the blessings, the fullness of blessings of those things which we have already received that can never be taken away, that are more precious than anything the world can buy. We can't buy pardon. We can't buy forgiveness. We can't buy adoption. We can't buy the sealing of the Holy Spirit. We can't buy daily grace. It's all given to us. And all of those things are deposited and secured for us in Jesus Christ at the very beginning of our day. And all that we have to look forward to is the greater consummation and fulfillment of all those things. That is what we are looking forward to. We go to inherit a blessing. So therefore, let us live lives that are a blessing. And that's the focus that he has here. Our little is better than their lot. There's none of us that really in our right mind would want to trade places with anyone that doesn't know our Savior for whatever worth and value. Our support is surer than all the support the world has. We have a Lord who sustains us, a Lord who knows our days, a Lord who is vitally interested and practically involved in our lives. We know a Lord that will not forsake His godly ones, who preserves us. He will keep us. But the wicked are not so. And as much as it says seven times that the righteous themselves will inherit, so that it says, let me see how many times here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 times that the wicked will be cut off. They're going to have a rude ending. Beloved, we don't need to fret. God Himself will take care of our enemies. He will take care of the wicked. And the Lord take care. Not the way He takes care of us. And that's the blessing. So simply as we come to our meeting and as we leave our meeting, as we go and live our lives, it probably sounds, well, it isn't trite. It's true. It's for everlasting. Keep your focus on the Lord. Let Him be the foundation of your trust and commitment and your day. Keep Him before you. Keep the faith. Depart from evil. Do good. And keep the future in mind. That, beloved, there are no losers who give it all up for Him. And that's what we've been learning in the Gospel of Luke. Forsake, deny ourselves, and follow Him. And we will follow Him to glory. Now that's our business meeting, so I hope you will be peaceful. I hope you'll be gracious and generous. Not grouchy or any complaining or anything else. But I don't think you will. I mean, let me just say this again. You are all an incredible blessing. An incredible blessing to us. This congregation is sweeter than sweetness, and it's always a joy. There is no place that I would rather be than with this congregation of people, and God has been so kind.